For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe. Fonzie!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Believe in Hornets podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. And and what you're listening to right now is our new intro. We have music now. Thank you to the Believe folks for hooking us up.
There you go.
We're not hearing it right now, but you hear it as the podcast is playing. I don't know how to do that in real time. maybe for next week I'll figure it out. But we have new music. Yay. You hear his voice. That's Muggsy Bogues on the line. Muggsy, how you doing?
What's up, partner? How you doing?
Things are good. Hornets are balling out. We have some injuries, but all things considered, the team's performing really well. So it's really cool. Like, I feel like I say it every week. To some degree, it's kind of still a fun time to be a Hornets fan right now.
Oh, absolutely. Got to be a fun time to be a Hornets fan. I mean, here it is. They 6 in their standings right now, the Eastern standings. They got 12 wins, just the same amount of wins that Boston Celtics have.
Yeah.
I mean, within 25 games that they played, they're 12 and 13, you know, one game under 500. You got to be pleased with where they are right now. I mean, some of the guys have been injured, but for the most part, the core has been there. And then with the excitement of what Melo has bring in terms of his excitement, especially being been injected into the starting lineup, has really, you know, been contagious for the guys. And they've been scoring a lot more points than they've been showcased, been showing, you know, 120 points as opposed to 107. That's a big jump.
Oh, yeah. It's dope. It's really dope. And we're going to get into all that in this episode. Also in this episode, we're going to talk about some non-Hornet stuff. Derrick Rose is rejoining Thibodeau in New York. There's some talk about the All-Star game, some of the highest profile, like the top 1% of the NBA is anti-All-Star game. Like, the All-Star of the All-Stars don't want to play in this All-Star game. So we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to close out the episode talking heckling stories from Muggsy's experience in the league. So I guess we can start outside the NBA first. Uh-huh. The newest thing, I would say, because the All-Star game talk has been going, like, it's been like a slow kind of roll thus far as we get closer to the actual game itself. But Derrick Rose traded from the Detroit Pistons to the New York Knicks, reuniting with Tom Thibodeau. They was that relationship in Chicago, saw it in Minnesota, and now it's in New York. Muggsy, what do you think about Derrick Rose in general? Then what do you think he can bring to the Knicks?
I mean, I love D Rose, and I'm so glad that, you know, Thibodeau reached out to bring him to the Knicks to kind of mentor the guys. Not only that, but also to help, because D Rose still got some ball left in him. To really help and try to get them where they need to be, hopefully, you know, try to make the playoff or make one of that last run for those spots. You know, that's where he had his most success with Coach Thibodeau. You know, 2-time MVP with him, went up to Minnesota, as you alluded to, and had success with him as well. D, just a great guy on and off the court. I'm pretty sure guys would love to have him in the locker room. He's always, you know, even keel, not the rah-rah type of guy, but now that he's at this age, at the stage in his career, he's not shy about, you know, lending his voice to what needs to be done, because he's a true professional. He's understand what it takes in order to get to that next level and how to conduct yourself as a professional. And I'm quite sure Coach Tibb, having him in the locker room with these guys, with the young guys, really, you know, resonate in terms of the type of culture they're trying to create there. So I'm so happy for him, you know, getting another opportunity, another chance to feel like, you know, you got another run at something, you know, at the end of the tunnel in terms of possibly making a playoff. Because in Detroit, you know, things was a little dormant right now. And he was kind of being on the restriction, so to speak. So I'm quite sure they're going to let him do his thing, you know, as much as he can to help that organization, and I'm so happy that he ran night away with Coach Tibbs.
Yeah, the Pistons are sitting in last in the East with 5 wins, and for contrast, the Knicks are in 9th place. So I appreciate the Knicks are kind of going for it. They could have tanked and made a run at Evan Mobley or Kate Cunningham. There's a lot of really good youngsters coming into the league in this upcoming draft, and Tibbs doesn't seem here for the tanking, which is good. I like that winning mentality. Like, they're going out there to compete, and Derrick Rose is definitely a competitor. We've seen it. We all seen it despite the injuries. Like, he's yeah. a top tier competitor. What is there to like that coach and player bond? Like, when as a coach, when you find a player you can trust, and when you're a player, when you have a coach you can trust, can you speak towards like that intangible, I guess, and a familiarity between that coach and player relationship, and how valuable that can be?
Yeah, I mean, that's everything. You know, relationship with players, trusting one another, and having people that around you that, you know, have that same common goal. And with a player standpoint, I mean, here it is, when you're a coach, you know, you can't engage with players, you know, to a degree, you know, on and off the court. I mean, off the court is so much that you do just on the court. But as a player, and having that guy that you trust, that knowing that he's saying the right stuff, he's also bringing the right stuff as an example, it speaks value, and it spreads contagious around your players. And that's the type of culture that you want to have in your locker room, around your ball club. And you know, so when the coach feel like they need to reach out to a type of player that brings that type of stability, that type of leadership, that type of culture to your program, you know, especially that still have some gas in the tank, you know, more times than not, you know, they try to go out and make it happen. And here it is, they was in a situation to, you know, to bring back D. Rose. Like I say, he still has left in his tank. And I'm quite sure Coach Tibbs sees that, and they want to, you know, it's a win-win for both situations. And for Dennis Smith, getting an opportunity, Dennis Smith Jr., now, you know, hopefully he can rejuvenate himself and resurrect his career down in Detroit, you know, because he's a talented player. We can't forget about how talented and skillful this kid is. But from some odd reason, for getting bounced to from Dallas to New York and now here to Detroit, you know, they got to be saying something. And then you got to look yourself in the mirror, you know, say, hey, you can't be all everybody else. Sometimes it got to be me. And hopefully he can turn his career around, because he's a great kid. I got an opportunity to coach against him when I was playing in high school, and then I got an opportunity to meet him while he was in the league. And hopefully that, you know, because he's a great kid, you know, come from great genes, and hopefully he can kind of get his stuff together because he's so talented.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck to everybody involved. The Pistons organization, they made some interesting moves in the offseason. I'm not sure where their focus is, but hopefully the players in there with the franchise now can excel in their new surroundings. But kind of looking on the other side of the spectrum, in a way, the All-Star game is approaching next month. When this new season started, there was plans for no All-Star game, just the All-Star break. I guess they would have just named an All-Star team and just kind of went that way and let these guys rest and recuperate during that stretch. But within the last like week or so, the league announced that they're going forward with an All-Star game on March 7th. And the biggest stars in the league, LeBron, Giannis, Carmelo, Kawhi doesn't say anything, have spoken out against this game. Muggsy, what do you think about the All-Star game happening now? Like, so also just real quick, we're recording this Tuesday just before 6 p.m. So this could change by the time this podcast goes out. So, you know, the NBA may listen to their star players here and be like, maybe we shouldn't do this. But what do you think about the All-Star game, this conversation around it, the players speaking up against it, and the decision at this point right now to move forward with it?
Well, let's put it this way, you know, it's a league's players' league. Now you got guys that are speaking up against going, and I'm quite sure the league will listen to that. Even though right now it's scheduled to go forward with the All-Star game, I don't know how that's going to look, because you got so many elements that goes along with not just the game, you know, things that surrounded around the game, you know, the challenges and all the other stuff that goes on the slam dunk and so forth. So how they would even create that and will fans be involved? So it's a lot of things that's going to be, you know, talked about and continue to be speculated and decision to be made. But again, if you got those guys who are saying, hey, they have concerns and those are the guys that going to be the ones that probably, you know, represent the All-Stars. So I'm quite sure Adam Silver and his staff in the league always ahead of themselves in terms of making sure that we all are on the same page going forward and that we will reach a common goal when it's time to do so. So with that being said, I don't know if it will take place, you know, because you guys are now speaking up, because those guys are some big bosses that's, you know, that's being lent to not going.
Yeah, and as a fan, like, I'm happy that just basketball is back. I'll trade the regular season, for the All-Star game. Like, give me the regular season and give these guys the week off. I'm cool with just regular season basketball and postseason basketball. I don't need the All-Star game this year. Like, let's just get these guys help, like, let them rest, let them stay safe, and let them gear up for the second half of the season.
Yeah, because, to be truthful about the All-Star game is really for the fans.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the players. I mean, players there to entertain, but it's more or less for the fans to give the fans the opportunity to engage with the players and, you know, because they don't have an opportunity to be that up close with them and that type of freedom that they have during the All-Star game. So that's really more or less what the All-Star game is for. So if the fans can't be there, then, you know, sometimes it's like with the point.
Yeah, and if the game does go forward, or if it just ends up being a team, the Hornets may have some representation there. Gordon Hayward, I think, was slotted in ninth, I think, in All-Star voting.
Yeah, right now he's a little slided out.
Oh, he's slide out?
Did you say he's ninth, you got him?
Yeah. Yeah. So, he's in there. Among he's in the East. Mix. Among the East, yeah.
Yeah.
So he still has some ways to go, I guess, to, solidify a spot. But it's nice to see the little Hornets logo.
The name there. Yeah. It says Hornets right beside it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And he was playing like an All-Star. I mean, like I said, we caught it within the season. He's been putting up some, you know, unbelievable numbers on a nightly basis. And pretty much, you know, I want to say he's the leader of that team.
Yeah.
He's the leader. He's the leading scorer right in the team. He's the one that kind of, you know, how he goes, they go. But Melo has now become a really initiative in terms of how the tempo of the game is being played. And that's what coaches love. When you have a player who can control the tempo, you know, forcing action all over the court on both ends, defensively, getting rebounds. And then that's a win-win situation when you got something like that. But who knows? I'm looking forward to hope that Hayward get that nod to being an All-Star.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It'll be a nice little middle finger to everyone who's like, oh, the Hornets overpaid. What are you guys doing? All the people trolling on Twitter about the Hornets franchise and stuff like, what now? But time will tell if we get to.
Well-deserved,
yeah. You brought up LaMelo. He's next on our docket here. He's starting. We talked about his first start last week. He's starting under not great circumstances. Injuries to the roster. Terry Rozier went down first. Mm-hmm. And then PJ went down. Mm-hmm. And then Devontae went down. Mm-hmm. It was just like, so the five changed a lot during that stretch. Bridges got into the starting five at one point, I think. But Melo's been able these last five games to start. And it's been really great.
I mean, 3-2.
Yeah. In those five games, played around 34 minutes each game, 22.6 points per game, 6 boards, 6 assists. He's shooting. This is the thing that's blowing my mind with LaMelo. He's averaging 7 3 attempts per game the last five. Mm-hmm. And he's making half of them, more than half of them. And then from the floor, he's taking 18 shots per game, and he's making 44% of them. So LaMelo shooting the ball is something that it's an element that can take his game to the next level, I think. And with his playmaking ability and rebounding ability, he's going to be a problem for the rest of the league.
His confidence is growing. And now that I think he understands, you know, that trial at the beginning, you know, how they was able to play him, you know, protect his minutes, bring him in. But now he got the taste of what it felt like playing against the first string and how to now have success against that first string. And he's playing with the utmost confidence. And when you have a young player like that with that type of confidence and ability that he has, I mean, it's going to spread amongst the team. And now that you see that the points has increased, you know, they used to be, you know, ranked 29th and scoring, you know, I'm probably last in scoring and scoring, averaging only 107 points. They average 120 points now. And that's a big jump. Mm-hmm. And that's more easy baskets. That's more up-tempo basketball. That's guys feeling good about themselves, spreading the ball. And when you have that type of enjoyment out there on the floor, you know, it normally leads to success. And at the helm of it, it's little young fella Mello, you know, who's, again, you know, starting to understand how to play that point guard position, how to control it, and how to not only be an impact on one end, but realize he's been an impact on the other end as well, with the deflections, hands,
yep.
You know, coming active. Up with loose ball steals, rebounding, pushing it. And that's been affectionate amongst his teammates. And you can hear, you know, Malik Monk when he did his interview about how all I got to do is run, you know, young fella going to find us. And
we're seeing lobs to Biz, man. Like,
and the lob, because he had that control and know how to feel for the game. And when you're a point guard to have that understanding, you know, you like playing with a point guard like that, because I run, I'm going to get an opportunity to score and do what I do best.
Yeah. And even, we caught Magic Johnson's attention. I say we like him on the team. The Hornets caught Magic Johnson's attention. He tweeted out how excited the Hornets are to watch. So yeah, it's cool. More people are paying attention to the franchise, which is a deserved and also appreciated, because we get to share what we see with other people. It's great.
And I told this story. I think I was on another podcast, and I mentioned about how the Hornets excitement it is, and how electrifying they are. And if fans was in the arena, they'd be going crazy right now. And it's not a team that it's going to be a team that be reckoned with, not only local and the state wise in terms of the excitement and enjoyment, but on the national level, they're going to be a beloved team, you know, because of what that young fella's able to do and the youth and the youth and excitement he brings and how he plays it. And that could be something that I think the Hornets could be getting ready for to be known on that national stage once again.
Yeah, like Melo here playing here, and this is a team winning games. We'll make more Hornets fans. Like, people who've never been to the state of North Carolina will follow the Hornets on Twitter, on the internet, on YouTube, or whatever, and they'll become Hornets fans because of how they're playing, this style, this competitively. Like, even
that's what when it does.
I can't even, like, I still can't get over the Rockets performance from the other night, where they held the Rockets to 7 points in the fourth quarter. Like, that was a game they're going back and forth. The lead was changing throughout the game. One was really pulling away. And in the fourth quarter, they really like, all right, we're winning this game. We're not playing around anymore. And they stepped up defensively, which has been a huge cause of concern, especially around the three-point line.
Only up by 3 points going into the fourth quarter. So to hold them and to be able to, and then had the young fella hit 7 threes in the game. I mean, he averaged 7, and here it is. He knocked down 7 of them.
Madness.
I mean, that's feeling it. That's feeling it and having fun out there. But that's the growth of the team, and that's what you want to happen. And you want the guys to, you know, not hang on the lows in terms of when we don't play well, as well as on the win. But they're trying to keep that even balance. And, you know, and I love what the coaching staff is doing with the team. The guys are right there in the thick of it. They got a big challenge coming up with this road trip. But right now, Memphis, I think, will be the next one they got to face. And that would be a good challenge for, you know, to see what they could do with that game. But you love this two-game double figure by 20 type of win. And it lets you know that, hey, we can do it if we go out here and put it all together on both ends of the floor.
And you also, you know who also loves it? Nick Richards. He got to play. They got, the Hornets had a lead. Nick Richards came on, and he got active. He was sending in bounce passes from the top of the key. He was getting rebounds. I think he had a couple dunks over the course of two games. So we got, everyone caught a glimpse of Nick Richards, who very, 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 very small sample size. So it's hard to get too excited about anything. But I like the way he moved on the court. Just first impressions. Love to see him play more. Hopefully we get to see more of him as the season goes on. Yeah, so things are looking good, I think. Although, caveat, Devontae Graham, he's been ruled out for the Grizzly game, for the Memphis game, with that groin injury. So hopefully we get him back soon. When Devontae is fully healthy again, how do you anticipate him fitting into the team? Like, do you anticipate him going back to the five or into the starting five, coming off the bench? What do you think?
I had to get choked up there on my own. Well, you know, that's going to be a coaching decision there. You know, it depends on how the team is playing. You know, you hate to lose your starting position, you know, as an injured, you know, when you're injured. You know, no one, you know, the rules say, you know, you can't lose your job as a starter. You can't lose your starting position that once you get hurt. But it all depends on how the team is playing and how well they're gelling, where Devontae is health-wise in terms of how he's feeling, how many games has he missed, how long has he been out. So, you know, that's all going to go into the coach's decision when making that. But I'm quite sure, you know, with the team that they have, no egos over there. I think guys are really understanding that, hey, it is what it is. I'm going to get my minutes. But, you know, just stay ready when the opportunity comes. I don't think it's going to be any different when Devontae get healthy again and when he decide to come back. Again, if the team is gelling and Melo got this team playing up-tempo, winning basketball, you know, that's a hard decision to kind of take him out the lineup.
And when we played the Sixers, that's a very tough opponent. We didn't have Terry or PJ that game. And we got a glimpse at the bench without two of the franchise's best players being out. And with Devontae back in the mix and having the options of, like, hypothetically, you know, if Devontae is the sixth man and he's in that first, like, when he's in that second unit with Bridges and Monk, hopefully, that's a trio off the bench that is really solid. I think a lot of teams would be jealous of that. Those three guys.
That's a lot of scoring power right there coming in. If D can accept that role, because it gives so much versatility, because you give you another point guard, not only that, but another scoring point guard that has that ability to change the tempo of the game and so forth. It remind me of Van Fleet back in the day when he was coming off of Toronto when he was on that championship run. So I can see that, you know, I really can see that. In that regards, and it can work. Like I said, it all depends on continuously how this unit continue to go out there and play. And if that's something that's still happening and you're winning, quite sure that Coach JB gonna, you know, have a hard decision to make in terms of, again, wanting to change that lineup.
I'm here for it. I'm excited. I'm always excited to see the starting five get tweeted out by the Hornets Twitter, just to see now that we're in, because for a while we knew they could have used the same graphic every night. Like, we knew what we were going to see each time the Hornets games were coming around. But this, now it's getting a little intrigue, game within the game action, which is really cool, because it means we have options, and who doesn't love options? So up next, we have the Grizzlies, Timberwolves, Spurs, and then the Bulls again. So I look at that and I want Devontae just to chill. Like, it's a soft tissue injury. Those things can be recurring. Like, make sure he's right. Not, like, I'm going to regret saying this again like I did last time when we played the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies aren't the toughest opponents in the world. Maybe we'll be okay without him. Just make sure he's healthy. And so when he does come back, when we got the Nuggets, the Warriors, the Jazz, the Suns, we can really like stake our claim and push up the standings in the East when those tougher games come around. But
and those are on the road too, aren't they?
Yeah, that's a hell of a Jazz. We have the Warriors at home, and then Jazz, Suns, Warriors again, Kings, Blazers, and then the Timberwolves to close out the first half of the season. So yeah, we're running out of games in this first half. So it's interesting. It's interesting. Yeah.
But like the way we are,
yeah, you
know, that's far.
Most definitely. It'll be like going into the year, I thought the Hornets had a good shot at the very least finishing in like that, the play-in zone.
Right, the play-in, right.
Uh-huh. If the Hornets can avoid that altogether and like finish sixth or higher, even better. Even better.
Yeah, well, you know, you wouldn't expect Miami to be where they are. Yep. You know, right there. So you figured that, you know, they will probably make a jump in some sort of way, as well as Toronto and something. So, you know, again, we controlled our own destiny. We worry about us. Mm-hmm. And if we continue to keep doing what we're doing, because we got some quality wins in there, get some quality teams. And but it all comes to if we can win on the road. You know, you got to be able to win on the road and get some wins. And then come home and make sure you protect home.
Yep.
Because, you know, you protect home, you know, you got 70, we used to always say 82 games, 41 home, 41 away. Now you got, 72 games,
mm-hmm.
you know. So you got to break that down to where how many, who get that odd game at home. So you 31 now, was 35, 36. Yeah, so that's what it is. You get 36 home games, 36 away games. So you got to make sure you protect home most important. That's how you kind of keep yourself in that hunt, you know, where, you know, because that road could be very challenging once you get out there.
Almost definitely. Well, speaking of the road, and the segues nicely into what I teased, I guess, at the beginning of this podcast, hecklers. The courtside Karen incident happened between recordings, so we didn't get a chance to really talk about it on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I want to take it away from the specific incident itself.
Right.
Because it's kind of old news, really, at this point.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I'm going to talk to you, Muggsy, about any experiences you've had with hecklers during your playing days and how you deal with it, or like any crazy things you've heard on the court.
Yeah, well, I mean, hecklers is always at arenas. I mean, especially, Cleveland. You had the one in Cleveland with a man with the glasses on. Always was there heckling all the opposing team when they come in, as well as Washington. You know, Washington Wizards now. They were the Bullets back then. Always had the heckler right behind the bench, and he was a lawyer. And I recall one game, here it is, we played the Bullets, and Coach Gene Littles was our coach. He decided to call Tom out. And our assistant coach was Tom Nasalk. He was one of our assistants. And myself, Rex Checkman, and all us was on the team. So Rex wasn't too happy with what was going on with the situation. So he decided to tell the heckler behind us that our assistant coach had a toupee on. And And Rex, so he was like, "Why?" He said, "Yeah, Coach Tom Nasalky has a toupee on." So it was quiet in the arena. The timeout was taking place, and the heckler stood up and howled, "Oh, Tom Nasalky! Oh, Tom Nasalky! That's not a toupee you're wearing, is it?" Oh, Rex Chapman said, "You're wearing a toupee." So man, he had everybody dying laughing in there. So that was one that stood out. And then last but not least, we had one that we went to Detroit. I was with the Washington Bullets my rookie year. And they had a heckler in there. His name was Leon Love. Yeah. Leon Love, he always got on the player, sat right behind the opposing bench. And the court that Detroit had was always lift above the seat. So we kind of had our seat where they had the above court. So we sitting there watching the game. I'm sitting there, you know, before I get up, before I'm about to go in. So Leon holler, hey, Manu, why don't you sit Muggsy on your knee so he can see the game? So he's always kind of hollering about those type of things, man. But he talking about warm the bus up because you know you ain't getting in the game, told Manu that. So, I mean, but those guys like that always stood out in the arena, man. It was so much fun. They, you know, it was all in fun, though.
Yeah. No one crossed the line. Like, everyone knew, like, it's here for the spirit of the sport.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Nobody talking about your mama, none of that type of stuff, your wife, all that stuff. So, but it was always personal towards you, you know, because we had a guy, you know, J.R. Reed was another guy that he got on.
Yeah.
J.R. Reed, that's Herman. I heard your name was Herman. There's a telephone call. It's Dean Smith. He say, Herman, J.R. Reed, you can read. It's all kinds of stuff. But it was funny. It was funny.
Oh, man. That's awesome. It's unfortunate with no fans in the building. We're limited to the viral stuff. Toxic stuff, but because, like, you know, it's what it is. Thankfully, all folks aren't like that, like that incident, and people more playful, I guess, in what you've experienced.
Unfortunate that happened. Thankful that everybody, you know, apologized and moved on, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's not that serious.
Oh, definitely, like it's just a game at the end of the day, but this has been fun. Before we say goodbye to everybody, Muggsy, is there anything else you want to get into?
Well, I think we got to give thanks or homage to my man, Tom Brady. We saw a Super Bowl to take place that, you know, gosh, that a 43 man, we thought we'd never see someone on the end of the pinnacle holding that Lombardi trophy, you know, as a Super Bowl champion. So I'm going to salute to Tom Brady and the Bucks and my man, Godwin. Goodwin. My man Godwin, number 14. He had my jersey on one day at the podium.
Oh, nice.
So I got, to give my man Godwin a shout out and congratulate him for winning Super Bowl. Antonio Brown, Udonis Sue, all those guys, Evans, man, first time winner. So it was amazing to watch. You know, I'm sad that Kansas City, you know, wasn't able to overcome, you know, because they had a lot of injuries, you know, going into that game. And even though they was the guys that was considered the favorites, but sad thing happened to, you know, Coach Reed and, you know, his situation now, because even though I never met him, I just admire all what he stand for and what he represent. And, you know, so my shout outs to them guys, and, you know, on to another one, buddy. On to another one.
Yeah.
You know, on to another one.
Also, Muggsy and I were on the Believing in Kentucky podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Same network, on the Family Network. So if you're listening to this, go check that out. Go check them out. Vinny and Tony Delk, they were gracious enough to have us on. It was amazing just to be a fly on the wall to listen to Muggsy and Tony Delk talk about the NBA. Like that was a pleasure to listen to. Going in, I fully expected to be talking about PJ Washington for like an hour, but it went a completely different direction, which was not like, I love PJ Washington, but it was great to hear what you and Tony had to say. So if you listen to this, go check out Believe in Kentucky. It's on all the same platforms this podcast is on. So do us a solid and tell them we sent you. But
I enjoyed the partner. You know, appreciate you each and every week.
Yeah, same here. Well, thank you all for listening to the Believe in Hornets podcast and the Believe Podcast Network. We'll catch you next week. Cheers.
See you next week, bud.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.